You are listening to a sermon by Tim Kupfer, recorded on Sunday, November 12, 2023, at the joint service of Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship with Chinatown Peace Church in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Amen. Thank you, Chan. The church in Gaza has in recent years shrunk to a tiny fraction of its former size. It's about 1/7 its size from a few years back. It's only about 1,000 now. A couple of weeks ago, about half of these Palestinian Christians were sheltering in the ancient Porphyrius, which is third oldest church in the world and the oldest church in the Gaza Strip. Oldest of the three still standing there, at least. A church founded over 1,500 years ago, year 425. But several weeks ago, an Israeli missile struck and destroyed one of its ancient walls, a wall built by the Crusaders back in around 1100. 18 of our brothers and sisters, there they are, they got crushed to death when that missile struck their sanctuary. Another 20 were wounded. The next day, our slain sisters and brothers' bodies were shrouded in white and laid out in the church courtyard for a mass funeral. There have been a lot of mass funerals in Gaza this past month. Over 11,000 people have died, more than 4,500 of them kids. Right after the mass funeral, the church conducted a mass baptism. Right there it is, for the children, in case they too may soon die. Every day throughout this past month, Pope Francis has been calling this little group there of believers, checking in on them, praying with them, praying for them, his brothers and sisters, this family under siege, this family of Jesus. "Who is my family?" asks Jesus in our text. What's he asking? Who is my family? Who am I responsible for? Who should I look out for? Who should I care for? And just about everybody agrees, if you don't even look out for your family, well, you're a pretty terrible person. What did the Apostle Paul say? If you don't care for even your family, you're worse than an infidel, he said. So on this Peace Sunday, we remember that peacemaking begins at home. What can we do to promote world peace? Mother Teresa once asked. And her answer was, go home and love your family. If we can't even love our own family, what hope have we of loving our enemies? I simply cannot understand Christians cheering on this brutal bombing right now by Israel, the slaughter of our own Palestinian sisters and brothers, and of so many thousands of children. And you know, it was much the same in World War I and World War II, mostly Christians slaying Christians. Even in Japan, the city the USA chose to nuke, drop a nuclear bomb on, was Nagasaki, the one Christian city in Japan. So, who is my family? Who should I look out for? Can we all at least agree that bombing our own sisters and brothers, whether in Gaza or Nagasaki or Dresden, it's a catastrophic failure of the family of Jesus? You see, according to Jesus, our family is, first of all, it's global. It's global. It's this whole messy, worldwide family of Jesus. In his great prayer, that was the first text we heard this morning, John 17, at the Last Supper, Jesus clearly prays for all of us, for the worldwide church. I ask not only on behalf of these disciples who are here with me now at the Last Supper, but also on behalf of all those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one globally. I and them and you and me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. There it is, Jesus' peace plan for the world, a global family of love, a family united, no armies or bombs to impose peace, no coercive force to like give teeth to Jesus' peace plan, just this new society of love. We're meant to be this global witness of Jesus' peacemaking love, birthed, formed by his own life, by his teachings, by his death, and of course, by his resurrection. Look, we're not Benjamin Netanyahu or the IDF brass. We don't have to decide whether to bomb children or churches. And we're not Hamas either. We don't need to decide whether we're going to kidnap kids or rape seniors. What we are is Jesus' family. It's who we are. We're his sisters and brothers, Jesus says, globally. All 2.4 billion of us. That's one in three human beings. This society, this messy family that Jesus calls his kingdom, the global kingdom of God, this great multi-ethnic extended family created when God became one of us, a human baby, lived our life, died our death in our stead. You know, the slaughter of the innocents by Herod, it kind of rings powerfully right now, doesn't it? He died in our stead, he rose up in glory to be king of the world. And then from Jerusalem, King Jesus sent out his disciples into the wreckage of the world to plant small kingdom of God outposts of heaven everywhere, out to Gaza, out to Syria and Lebanon, spreading out ever outwards to finally that family, that kingdom reached even here, the messy downtown east side and the tidy Point Grey even. So Jesus' family is global, yes, but it's also, second, it's local. That is, it's located as pockets of peace, right? You know, as what they say, global. That's the kingdom of God. Global, local, always local. Who is my family, Jesus asks, when his mother, his brother, and sisters show up. And they're standing outside, the text says. That's a significant detail in our text. They're outside the house. Mark's gospel tells us that they came to take Jesus home with them because they thought Jesus was unstable, that he was mentally unwell. He was losing it. They were outside, we're told in our text. Jesus then points to those gathered around him, those who have chosen to come inside to be with him. He points to his disciples and he says, here's my family. A new family based not on blood, not on parentage, not on inheritance rights, but a different kind of kinship. Those who choose to come inside, those who choose to come and follow Jesus, come inside. Think of the little Christian community again, huddled inside that church in Gaza Strip. They've actually moved from St. Porphyrius, which is of the Greek tradition, to the Roman Catholic Church at this point, and a lot are heading south. These are my brothers and sisters, says Jesus, burying their little ones, baptizing their little ones, generously sharing their scarce food, including their Muslim neighbors. I read only a few months ago, aware that this area is a powder keg waiting to explode, they created a management committee. This church here created a management committee for future crises. And they began to prepare for the difficult times that they anticipated ahead. Here's the words of one of our Gazan brothers, George Antonet. We began to stockpile mattresses, blankets, hygiene products, fuel, and non-perishable food, prepare generators, and saw how we could quickly buy water and other supplies in case of emergency. We live here, right? Located locally, and we know the situation. We feared that something was going to happen because in Gaza, violence is cyclical, although this has exceeded our worst fears. Well, so I wonder, how about us? Could we too here we are in our present comfort, our security, could we also learn something about this way of Jesus, the family way of Jesus, from our Gazan sisters and brothers in their trauma? After all, things could very well change for us one day too, couldn't they? I just want to tell you, I've been invited to Sherbrooke Mennonite Church next Sunday to present a plan, family plan, peace plan, you could call it, for us here in Vancouver. They're considering offering their property to create a new family home, a new local Kingdom of God center, you could call it, or a pocket of peace in Vancouver where Mennonite Christians can live together as a Jesus-centered family. By our life together, we sang about that in that second song, seeking the family unity as living stones, I think that hymn said. Seeking the unity that Jesus prayed for us, that they might be one. That they might be one as we are one. So my hope and prayer is that this might be the beginning of a whole network of family homes, of pockets of peace around the city, that one day right here in Chinatown, at our property at 626 Main Street, we'd form another small, maybe powerful, hopefully subversive, local outpost of God's kingdom, right here in Vancouver. A place where the way that Jesus' brothers and sisters live together would show the world, as Jesus prayed, would show the world that God has actually sent Jesus, and God loves us. God loves them. You know, in our young adult study this week, we looked at this kingdom of God Jesus preached and prayed for and then died for. And we learned how too often we have narrowed Christianity down to this personalized, privatized, sort of individualized spirituality. When what Jesus was in fact creating is a new society. That was what Jesus was up to. And yet, this is personal. Look at Jesus' answer to his question, who is my family? Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, that's who my family is. That's my brother, my sister, my mother. You see what Jesus is doing here? He's throwing down the gauntlet. Jesus is calling each one of us to make a decision. Will you and I opt in, or are we going to opt out? You see, the family of Jesus is global, it's local, but third, it's also personal. The family of Jesus is personal. Again, not privatized, not individualized spirituality here, and yet the whole gospel of Jesus still addresses each single one of us. Come to me, says Jesus. You need a change of heart. Let me remove that stony heart of violence and hate, and let me replace it with this new, soft heart of flesh for you. That's Jesus' peace plan. I'm going to transform your heart from the inside out. So come inside. Let me take your hard, stony heart and just watch what I can do with it. Let me put my love, as the text says, right inside you. Look at what he says. This is the final statement of his climactic plea to his Father the night before he dies. His great prayer for us. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know you sent me. I've made your name known to them. I will make it known so that the love with which you've loved me may be in them and I in them. What a way to conclude a prayer. And if the Father answers Jesus' prayer here, there will be peace on earth. So David Brooks, in his wonderful new book, How to Know a Person, The Art of Seeing Others Deeply and Being Deeply Seen, he speaks of his own personal heart transformation from what he calls detachment and to being seen, he says, to being loved, from a hard, stony heart to a soft heart of flesh. As he puts it, he says, from being a diminisher to an illuminator. Maybe you've heard how David Brooks, this secular Jewish Canadian, at least he was born in Toronto, recently made a public turn toward Jesus. In his recent book, The Second Mountain, Brooks shares how the Spirit of Jesus has been transforming him, he says, from withdrawal, detachment, broken relationships, estrangement, into this new path of open-heartedness, the desire to be a good listener, he says. A desire from the heart to give to others the gift of being seen, of true understanding, of love. From diminisher, he says, to illuminator. Brooks' words here. Diminishers are so into themselves, they make others feel insignificant. They stereotype and label. If they learn one thing about you, they proceed to make a series of assumptions about who you must be. He said, that was me. Diminishers are destroyers of relationship and peace. If given power, he says, diminishers are going to, they'll start wars. But illuminators are different, says Brooks. Illuminators are able to give to others one of the most generous gifts that we could ever give, the gift of true understanding. What I think Jesus is talking about there in his prayer. Illuminators, here it is, have a persistent curiosity about other people, which sounds to me like Jesus. They know how to ask the right questions at the right time. Sounds like Jesus. They shine the brightness of their care on people and make them feel bigger, respected, lifted up. You could say that illuminators, filled with the light of the Spirit of Jesus, are peacemakers. In times like this, we keep asking the question, what's the answer to world peace? Right? Keep asking that in war-ridden times like this. Jesus, the great illuminator, light of the world, he changes the question like he so often does, and he just says, who's my family? Who's going to be my family? Who is my brother, my sister, my mother? Remember Mother Teresa, world peace starts at home. Right here, right now, at home, in the dailiness of our lives, going about our daily business together as Jesus' family, with soft hearts, in the unity of the love that God prays for us. Again, globally, locally, personally. You and me. So, in conclusion, let's just quickly get super practical. Let's be Jesus' family. What might that look like? Well, I think it's looking into our neighbor's face with love and acceptance, especially here in Vancouver with our epidemic of invisibility, as someone has called it. It's offering a hug to a person you know is having a rough day. It's listening generously in that meeting at work, illuminating your colleague. It's being other-centered in your small talk while picking up your kids at school. Focusing on the person you're talking with. It's turning conversation into a form of play, says David Brooks. I like this one. He said, it's being lingerable. That is, being the kind of person others simply like to be around. It's treasuring one another, looking beyond whatever it is that irritates you about your brother. Treasuring one another. It's Ubuntu, right, young adults? Talked about that too this week. It's seeing the potential in your sister, naming it, helping her to blossom. It's even disagreeing with your brother without poisoning the relationship, without diminishing him. And of course, it's asking your sister for forgiveness. And it's granting forgiveness. Actually, that list sounds an awful lot like the Jesus we meet in the Gospels, doesn't it? Who will be his family? Let's pray. Jesus, we pray, protect your dear brothers and sisters in Gaza today. And make us too, illuminators, peacemakers, witnesses to the magnificent love God has poured out in his own blood for our anguished world. Jesus, in your broken body, in your blood spilt for us, meet us now as we come to your holy table of peace. And all God's people said,